My message to you today is in the book, scripture reading is in the book of James. I would like to go to James 1, starting at verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Thus, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. Thank you for each one here. We ask your blessings on their families. We ask you to be with and comfort and bless the ones that are sick today and not able to be here. And Heavenly Father, we ask for you to completely heal them and restore them to perfect health. And Heavenly Father, in all these things, we give you praise and honor and ask your blessings on the rest of this service. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we ask, and amen. My text to you today is the verse 7 and 8 in James, the fourth chapter. So James 4, verse 7, let's look at that. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. My message to you today is entitled, Resist and Submit. Now, these may seem like two contrary ideas, but I would like for you to keep in mind that he that we are to resist is not he that we are to submit to. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That seems clear cut. It seems like a great promise to me. And it seems like great advice. Resist the evil one. Resist the devil. And he will, as you do that, he will get away from you. He will leave you alone, albeit maybe temporary. But resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh. Grow closer to God. And God will draw closer to you. A lot of wonderful ideas there. A lot of wonderful advice. Peter speaks of the devil as a roaring lion. And we read in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, to fail to recognize that there is an evil one, there is an adversary, one that is opposed to you, one that is opposed to God, one that is opposed to the plans and purposes of God, one that is trying to destroy you, to come between you and God. He's your adversary. He's the evil one. And to fail to recognize the work and the methods of the devil is to be overcome by the devil. With these words that we have already read, you see that the devil, Satan, is a natural foe. He's your natural enemy, your adversary. You know, in Genesis 3 and 15, after Adam and Eve committed sin, disobeyed God, part of the punishment that was given out to Satan was the descriptions of bruising. And it was to be between mankind and Satan. And the description was that Satan's head would be bruised by mankind, and then Satan would bruise the heel of mankind. There's bruising going on, and it came as a result of disobedience. It was part of the punishment that was dealt out. Did you know that there are plenty of people that just don't want to believe that there is a devil, that there is an adversary, a natural enemy? Some people don't want to believe that. But the Bible declares that the devil exists. The devil, Satan, was a created being. He was created by the same one that created you and I. He was created by Almighty God, Yahweh of old. He was created good, but developed badly. Let's look at Luke 10 and verse 17. Luke 10 and verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." The demons believe and know that there is an almighty God, an almighty creator, and they not only know it, but they tremble at that knowledge. Let's look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 2 and 4. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Is that not giving you evidence that there is a dark side to this heavens and earth and to our life? There is a dark side. There is an evil one. There is an adversary. And it is Satan. And God didn't spare His created beings, the angels who followed Satan, about a third of them. Satan, with his angels, cast out of heaven by God Almighty. Yes, there is an evil force. There is a devil. And we need to know about him. We need to know about his work and his methods. What he does. And if possible, how to defeat him. How to keep him in check. And the Word of God lets us know that. Let's look at Jude 6. And see what that tells us. Jude 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. You know, Satan was created good. He was created the most beautiful angel in heaven. But beauty doesn't keep you right with God. And Satan got to looking at himself and thinking how good he looked and how wonderful he was. And then he thought that he wanted to be number one. He wanted to be in power. But you see where it got him. He's nowhere near in the same category as Almighty God. And he, being given the free will choice, the angels of heaven were created by Yahweh, but were just as you and I, given a choice of decision making. And these angels, with Satan as their leader, chose to rebel against God. And as a result, they were cast out of heaven. Into, in essence, reservations for the future time in which they would be judged by God and receive their final punishment of being cast into hell, along with all the rest of the evil ones, along with others who reject God and His plan for mankind. The life of Christ reveals that the devil exists. Remember the life of Jesus when it talks about the devil carrying Jesus around to the different places, offering him different things, protection, the power of the earth, being number one over all the nations of the earth. Just devil promised him anything and everything. But you know, the Son of God, Yeshua, he knew from Yahweh himself who number one was. He knew that there was only one way, and that was God's way. Observation in the world today that we live in reveals, verifies that there is a malignant force at work in the world. We can see the evil around us. We can see how crime in all its varying aspects is rampant over the whole earth. We can see the work of the devil and of humans that rebel against Almighty God, that don't want to go the way of God. A malignant force is at work, and the devil, Satan, is behind that. Most of us in our own personal lives can see that there is a conflict and comes at varying times in our life. And we can see that the evil one is behind some of these things. We know that there is that malignant force in the world. James, one of the greatest writers of the books of the New Testament, one of the disciples of Yeshua, James wrote a great book. And you know, I will never cease to be thankful and praising God for the life of James and for the book that he wrote, because without it, to me, without that one book, other things that you would read and wonder about and perhaps question about in the New Testament isn't as clear. And might be to some doubtful or questionable. But James puts things in balance with other books of the Bible and with other people, other writers of part of the New Testament. I thank God for James. And James encourages us in the practice of true religion. He provides us with suggestions concerning how we can deal with and how we can overcome the evil one. Just remember, anytime you think of the devil, Satan, and how he works and what he does and how disruptive that he can be in our families with his workings, with his deceptions, remember that he is the master of deception and the master of lies, the father of lies. And always remember, when you think of in regard to the devil and his power, think of your Creator, Yahweh, and His power. And remember that the devil does not, nor ever has had, an all-seeing eye. He's never been all-knowing. And he's never been and will never have all power. Only Yahweh has all power, all seeing, and all knowing. Yahweh of old, the only God. And in thinking of the advice that we have of resisting the devil and submitting yourself to God, we want to know that there are main points that we need to remember. And the first is that you are to submit yourself to God in James 4:7. There is none other to submit yourself to other than Yahweh. He is the only God. And secondly, put yourself under the Holy Spirit of Yahweh and Yeshua. Why? Yeshua said that if he does not go back to the Father, then the Holy Spirit would not come to comfort, to guide, to lead you into all truth and knowledge, to protect. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yahweh and Yeshua at work in this earth, in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. Thirdly, make Yeshua your Lord and Savior. The only Lord and Savior that we have is Yeshua, the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father. And then lastly, in some first pointers of how to submit yourself to God, how to resist the devil, I want us to look at the concepts of faith. Faith not by itself, but faith and works. Let's go to James 14, and we want to look at the first verse. James 14, first verse. Or is it James 4? Is there no 14? Okay, let's look at James 4 and 1. No, that's not right. Is it not a James 14? Okay. Okay, I must have wrote verse, chapter 14, and really verse 14 of chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 14 there. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? What would you say? That's a fair question, direct question. What would the majority of mainstream Christianity, how would they answer that? I got a feeling they would say, a lot of them, faith itself is all you have to have. Have faith, have love in God. That's all it takes. But James puts things in balance, in proper balance. Let's now go to verse 17. Thus also, faith by itself, listen, that answers it quickly. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What good is dead? It's going to accomplish nothing. It's not alive. It's not working. Faith without works is useless. Now let's look at 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That seems clear cut to me. Faith alone does not get it. There's got to be following works. There's got to be some action taking place after and along with your faith. Let's skip to verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Boy, that seems contradictory there to a lot of mainstream Christianity that I hear. Just think about it. Take the one verse. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. What are we supposed to think about all that? It's got to have both. One or the other doesn't get it. We know that we can't work ourselves into heaven. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough. Don't have enough of the characteristics of Yahweh to work ourselves by itself. We have to have faith. We have to have God's plan of salvation. We have to have the blood that was shed by Yeshua on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. There has to be and will always have to be the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Faith without works is dead. Works will not alone by itself get you into heaven. It takes God's plan, His whole plan, not just a partial plan, for you to be a child of God, for you to be in the family of God, for you to be deserving of eternal life in the family of God with Yahweh of old and Yeshua, His only begotten Son. Let's look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Could anything be any clearer? It's got to have the whole enchilada. The whole plan and purpose of Almighty God. After submitting yourself to God, secondly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are you being oppressed? Or are you afflicted? Are you depressed by something that you don't even know what is doing it? Could be many answers to that. But think number one of Satan. He's your adversary. He is your spiritual enemy. Resist him, and he will flee from you. In addition to being in submission to the will of God, we are to resist the devil. We are to take our stand against him. He is real. He exists. He is working behind the scenes. You don't see him, but you see his works. You see the result of his work. The charge is to resist him, not to attack him. You see the difference? didn't say attack the devil. It said resist him, and he will flee from you. We should not expose ourselves unnecessarily to danger. And believe me, Satan can be dangerous to deal with in every aspect of his works. He was the most powerful angel, as well as the most beautiful one, but he was the most powerful one in heaven until he thought too highly of himself and start placing himself in a position in which he should not have. We must not and should not be naive about the devil. But we are to resist him. By disobedience, Eve's listening and looking to Satan's lies and his deceptions resulted in the fall of man and resulted in inevitable death. Some people would think how wonderful things might have been if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed, and how just exactly how life would have been for them. We can wonder, and it probably was really a wonderful life. We need to learn how to keep our desires in balance and in check. By lifting our shield of faith, we resist the devil. By keeping our eyes on God and obedient to His voice, by keeping our desires in check and balanced, by lifting the shield of faith that God gives us. In Ephesians 6 and 16, we read, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Reckon who all that includes. For sure would include Satan and his demons or the wicked angels. Might even include some wicked human beings that are listening to the voice of Satan rather than the voice of Yahweh. We resist the devil also by drawing our sword. Ephesians 6 and 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Satan starts coming against you. Satan starts working in your family. And you can see that it's not natural. You can see that it's not God. Then lift the sword of the Spirit. Say the Word of God. Put Satan in his proper place. Jesus himself used the sword of the Spirit in overcoming the temptations of Satan. Let's look at Matthew 4 and 4. Matthew 4 and 4. And see how Yeshua dealt with the evil one. But he answered and said, it is written. This is the word of God. Yeshua says, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's go down to verse 7. Jesus said to him, that's to Satan, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I think we read a scripture earlier says that God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt any man. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Let's look at verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Do you see that's the bottom line? Satan was wanting Yeshua to reject Yahweh and look up to him to worship Satan. But Yeshua quoted him the word of God. We resist the devil by drawing our sword, the word of God, and quoting it as Yeshua did to the devil. Worship Yahweh and him only. By also falling on our knees in prayer. And let's look at James 4 and 8. James 4 and 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Yahweh wants us to be in perfect harmony with each other and with him. It should be second nature that we would be in harmony with the things of God, with Yahweh, and with Yeshua. They are in perfect harmony. They are, as the Bible terms it, one in agreement, one in purpose. And we should be in perfect harmony with them. In James 4 and 7, we are told that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. When we fall on our knees in prayer, some may consider that this is a strange way to fight. But our warfare is different. Prayer brings the power of God into our hearts and into our lives. Let's look again at James 4 and 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We will become more like him and less like our natural selves. Yeshua has overcome Satan. He has completed God's plan, the perfect sacrificial lamb, the blood shed for us. Yeshua has bruised the head of Satan. And if we confront Satan in Christ's name and Christ's strength, he will flee. Satan is a defeated foe and be kept and can be kept as such through faith through knowledge, and through our work in Yahweh's eternal plan. Resist and submit. Resist the devil. He will flee from you as you do. Submit yourself to Yahweh, and Yahweh will in turn grow closer and more nearer than ever to you. I know you as I want to be as close as we can to Almighty God. And we can. If you would, stand with me in prayer. And let's read our blessing of God to us and us to each other. Let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen.